tell people I'm a missionary, I get all kinds of questions.
People ask, what kind of missionary are you?
Or they want to know exactly what it is a missionary does.
Or a lot of times you'll hear people say, a missionary here? You mean that's a thing?
Well, there's 281 million lost people in the U.S. and Canada.
So yeah, it's a thing.
But there's one question no one ever asked me, and I wish they would.
No one ever asked where is the finish line.
That's the question I want to hear. What does mission accomplished look like?
You can watch videos about North American missionaries like me. You can read stories about us. You can pray for us.
But don't get so caught up in the methods and minutiae of what we do that you miss the main thing.
Everything you see and hear and read about us is really just a means to an end.
We start churches to make Jesus known.
We meet needs to make Jesus known.
We move to unfamiliar places, we meet unreached people, and we attempt unrealistic things just to make Jesus known.
There's nothing more important than that.
Nada.
Nothing at all.
Jesus said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation.
And so that's what our finish line looks like.
It looks like obedience, same as your finish line.
God speak. You give, we go.
Everything starts with your gift, so the Annie Armstrong is the offering.
Those gifts enable us to go places where the gospel has never been.
This is where we cross our finish line.
This is where, together, we make Jesus known.
So glad that you are here today. If you're a guest, let me say a special welcome to you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us today. We're grateful that you've chosen to worship with us. If you're a guest, whether in person or online, we'd love to connect with you. And we can do that one of a couple ways. One, there's a card in the pew back in front of you. You can fill that information out. And at the end of service, you can leave that in the offering plate as you leave today. Or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says, I'm new. You can click that button and fill that information out. And so just want to encourage you to do that. Again, we're grateful that you're here, and we just want to know who's worshiping with us and how we might be able to serve you this morning. Well, a few things I want to mention to you this morning. First of all, excited to have Mr. Robert White at the piano this morning, helping and leading us. So grateful that he is here to help and continue to support the leadership and the worship team with Matt leading us and Jonathan and Becca and Ashton as well. And so just grateful for the opportunity to worship the Lord together this morning. A couple things. Obviously, you saw the Easter, the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. The video this week begins. The week of prayer for that, we will, we have these prayer guides that are available to you. And so, first and foremost, we just ask you to spend some time praying for our North American Mission Board missionaries and the church plant and church work that is happening across our across North America. And so, these prayer guides are available to you here at the back of the sanctuary and out in the foyer. And it's just every day has a prayer emphasis. We also post videos that coordinate with the day of prayer on our Facebook page, so you can watch those and keep track with what's going on with that, and use those emphasis to pray for the offering, pray for the missionaries, those that are serving around North America. Also, there are these Annie Armstrong Easter offering envelopes. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to take one of these envelopes, place it somewhere where you'll see it on a regular basis. And here's all I'm going to ask you to do is, would you pray that God, if you would have me to give, how much would you have me to give to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering? And whatever the Lord tells you to give, you be obedient to do just that. So you just take an envelope with you, place it somewhere where you'll see it over the next several days, and just every time you see it, just pray. God, give me a number. Give me what you would have me to give. As a church, we've set a goal of $3,500 And so looking forward to that this month. Also, lastly, I want to mention to you, just because I got asked about it this morning and want to make clear, there's a note in our bulletin about Sherry, used to be Poggsgrove, now Taylor. She finished serving here at Second Baptist Church at the end of 2023. And our church, we want to be a blessing and say thank you to her for her time of service. And just with some things, that the most effective and efficient way for us to do that, both for us and for her, is to take up a love offering for her and just to say thank you for her time of service. She served here nearly 6 years. Now, here's the request that I have for you. If you want to give toward that, we're asking that to be cash only. And the best way to make sure, in case, because you may just want to, obviously we're taking cash only for that offering to that, but we also, you may ask, well, how can I do that? You can get that in the offering plate, but what I need you to do is I need you to put it in an envelope of some sort and write Sherry on that. And that way we know that gift is to go toward her, and we want to make sure that we honor people's request in giving that to her. If you were not able, please don't write a check. Don't give online to that. Cash only, please. I know, and that way we can make sure that gets to her. That's the most effective way for us and her regarding that, because we just had some transition with our, she was serving as our financial officer, and we've kind of had some transition with that, and it's just the most effective and efficient way for us to do that. So if you want to give, and again, that will end next Sunday. And so you say, well, I may not ready to do that today. You have next Sunday, but then after that, that will be the deadline for that, and it'll be a way for us to give a gift and just say, hey, thank you for serving Second Baptist so faithfully for several years, and we appreciate your ministry and service to our church, okay? All right. There's some other news and notes to pay attention to. Pay attention, and on the back, remember, we always put a box there with our food pantry needs and make you aware of the needs and things that are there. And so pay attention to those things. And just thank you so much for how you help support the ministries and things happening this morning. Well, we're going to just begin with a time of prayer. And we're going to sing together. And I'm excited this morning that we also have a baptism this morning. And so we get to share a little bit more with you in just a few moments about that. As we get ready to pray, I was reading this morning in the Psalms, and I believe it was Psalm 47, and there was this phrase in there that I've never seen. I trust I've read it before, I believe, but it said in reference, talking about the joy of the Lord and the joy that God gives us, and the phrase was this. He said, the oil of joy. And when you think about the difference between being drenched, something being getting wet water, and just how quickly, depending on how easy it is to repel, man, that comes and goes pretty quickly, dries pretty quickly. But if something is saturated in oil, man, it lingers, it hangs around, it's thick. And so this morning, what I wanted to do is we get ready to focus on and worship the Lord together and just pray that we would experience the oil of joy that God gives. That it's not just happiness. Water, you think about happiness, that's more like the water. Just comes easy, goes easily, all that sort of thing. But the oil of joy, man, that comes and it stays. It resonates. It lingers. And that's what we want from the Lord. So if you will, if you'll just take a moment, let's bow our head and close our eyes and just a moment of focus and a moment of going to the Lord. And you may have been really busy this morning, a lot going on. Whatever the case may be, just spend a few moments just praising Him and thanking Him for waking you up today and all that He's done in your life. Would you take a moment and ask God to help us to experience the oil of joy from Him this morning? God, You are gracious and kind and merciful. We thank You for today. Thank You for how You love and care for us. I pray this morning that, God, we would honor You in all that we say and do. God, I thank You for each person that serves. Thank You for just the opportunity to to worship you today. Lord, I pray that we would experience the oil of joy from you, the saturation of your presence and your goodness. God, I pray that we would sing for the glory of your name, and that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us as we sing When We All Get to Heaven?
Christ is paid.
Amen. As always, it's always a joy to get the opportunity to greet you from the baptistry and get to observe. Man, it's just wonderful ordinance that the Lord gives us. Baptism is so pivotal in the life of a believer. And that is right. It is in the life of a believer. Because baptism is a picture of what has already transpired in a person's heart. It is an outward expression of an inward decision, and it's a picture of the gospel. Here in a few moments, you'll hear me say we are buried with him through baptism into death, and we are raised to walk in newness of life. The importance of baptism and baptism by immersion is that it pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and it pictures the spiritual life change that happens in an individual when they repent of their sins and place their faith and trust in Christ. And so, I'm excited to share with you this morning. And so, Keyshawn, if you're ready.
My name is Keyshawn Lazard. I'm from Opelousas, Louisiana. You know, growing up in a small town in Louisiana, in an athletic family household, family of six, you know, outsiders don't know what you're going through. So a couple of weeks ago, me and Pastor Chris met, and I finally built up the courage to, like, talk about my story and stuff. And he kind of understood, and, like, today this is something I really wanted to do.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, Keyshawn plays for Coach Shipp here at Arkansas Tech and reached out to me and just said, hey, just kind of going through some things, just want to know, can we meet up and talk? I said, man, absolutely. And so we went and just had a chance to visit. And, you know, we started talking about baptism and there's something on his radar and that sort of thing. And then said, okay, well, let's take a step back and let's talk about salvation, what it means to follow the Lord and trust him. And so we did that, and shared the gospel with him and said, man, this is what you want. He said, yeah. And then so I helped lead him in a prayer of repentance and surrendering his heart and life to the Lord. And he gave his heart and life to the Lord. And then we said, okay, now baptism comes. And so we've been trying to find a time, and so grateful that we're here today and get to celebrate this with him and just come alongside and encourage him. So looking forward to that. Man, Keyshawn, it's my understanding that you've asked Jesus to be the Lord and boss and master of your life. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, it's upon that profession of faith, my brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with him through baptism and death. Raised to walk in newness of life. Man, it's incredible just to see the Lord work in individuals' life. And it is worth celebrating. It's worth rejoicing in. And, just getting ready to walk up and know Keyshawn's story. And just think a few weeks ago sitting down with him and knowing the courage that it took to reach out. And then us singing, Jesus Saves. It is a truth worth declaring. And so we're going to continue to worship the Lord. So let's do just that. Thank you.
like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing your song. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before.
Amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the Gospel of John, and John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Yes, we are in the third week of John chapter 3 and verse 16. And I think, Lord willing, if you'll hang in there with me, this will be the last week, at least for now. We're in John 3:16. And just, there's so much truth here that we've tried to mine some of the riches of John 3:16, but certainly not able to really even scratch the surface. It's just so rich. I want to take some time and look at this message I've titled The Father's Salvation. We've studied this together. We've looked at this together. We see in the first half of the verse that, God initiates this. It's the love of God that initiates salvation. And then last week we looked at the sacrifice of God the Father. And this week we are looking at the Father's salvation. And so it was the Father's love, the Father's sacrifice, and now the Father's salvation. So John chapter 3 and verse 16, if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? John chapter 3 and verse 16, and the Word of God says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You. God, we thank You that You've given us the opportunity to sing for the glory of Your name. God, thank You that we have already seen a message of the gospel in the baptism of Keyshawn. And Lord, I pray that You would use today for Your glory and for Your name's sake. Lord Jesus, we love You and we praise You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you're taking notes this morning, the main idea of the text is this, is that God provides a salvation which every person must believe in for himself. God provides a salvation that's for everybody. But every single person must believe in it for himself. Obviously, we got the opportunity to see the testimony of Keyshawn this morning and hear from him and then hear the story of how he came to faith in Christ. And here's the reality. I couldn't make the decision for him. His coach could not make the decision for him. His mom, nobody could make that decision. He had to make that decision. We're going to talk about that this morning. And so God provides a salvation that's for everyone, and everyone must believe in it for himself. And so the question then this morning is, have you chosen to believe in Jesus for salvation? Have you chosen to believe in Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation? I want us to see three truths from the text this morning, and so let's look there together. John chapter 3, verse 16, the most well-known verse in all the Bible and the most translated verse around the world. And so it starts, "For God so loved the world." And we looked at this 2 weeks ago, that this is the love of God, that God initiated. It was not anybody, it wasn't even Jesus trying to convince God to send him that he could provide salvation, but "for God so loved the world." It's the love of God that you and I have the opportunity to even have salvation. It's the agape love of God that is unconditional. And so it's "for God so loved the world," the love of God, and then we see the sacrifice, listen to this, that he gave his only begotten Son. It's the sacrifice. We looked at the story of Abraham and Isaac. Some of you looked at that in Sunday school this morning. And that his father called to give up his son, and he goes, but God intercedes and provides a sacrifice on his behalf. And the same is true for you and I, that you and I standing condemned, there is a sacrifice, but we talked about that only begotten, that this word is important, it's valuable, it's needed. because he is the only begotten. He's the not that he became the Son of God when he was born. He always has been. He always will be. But rather, he is the sole representative of the Father as the innocent, spotless Lamb of God sacrificing on our behalf. And so then we get to the second half of the verse, which we want to focus on today. And notice what it says. It says that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so number one is this, is that salvation is believable. Salvation is believable. He says that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for the whoever, the King James, the whosoever's in the Bible. Because whoever surely meaneth me. Man, thank you, God, that he is not a respecter of persons. He is not one that looks at an individual and makes judgment upon them based on the color of their skin or based on the money they have in their account or based on where they were born or any of those sorts of things. But rather, God is not a respecter of persons. And it doesn't say that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if you were born here or if you do this or if you act like this or do, but rather it says, but whoever, thank God for the whoever's. Because dear friend, you and I would be in a lot of trouble if it wasn't for the whoever in the Bible. Because let me remind you, and I don't know everybody's ethnic background and makeup this morning, but I'm fairly safe to say this, that none of us are claiming the genealogy that Paul claimed, and that he was the Jew among Jews, and he had all the right heritage, and he had all the right accolades in terms of his ethnicity and where he was born and the family he was born into and the religious audacity that he had. But Paul even said, all of that is rubbish. It doesn't matter because I'm separated from Christ. And here's the reality. If there wasn't a whoever, it would probably have been limited to the Jews, and you and I would have been on the outside looking in. But the Bible says this, says that he grafts in the Gentiles. He grafts in the Greeks. He grafts in the whoever's. And so thanks be to God that the Bible says this morning that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever. That's you, friend. It's your co-worker. It's your children. It's your grandparents. It's every single man, woman, boy, or girl that has ever existed. Regardless of fill in the blank. Remember, we started that the love of God begins. It begins with himself. For God so loved what he loved the world. How did he love the world? Remember, we talked about this. Sometimes we think about our sports teams. I put it in this context. We think about our sports team and go, man, I love this team. And most often when we're talking about that, we think about it in a team as a holistic concept. And if we were to really get down to the nuts and bolts of it, there's some teams, there's some components of that that you don't love necessarily. But that is not representative of what is said here and the idea that's portrayed here. When the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he's not just looking at the forest saying, I love the forest, but rather he's looking at every tree going, I love every single one. So he emphatically, the Word of God says, for God so loved the world, and that includes all the whoever's of the world. John 6:47 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Acts 10:42 and says, he commanded us to preach the gospel and to testify that he is who is ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Acts 16:11, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. So it's not just the whoever's, listen, here's the motivation, here's the push, and whoever should believe in him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, here it is, believes. And he loves you. He loves you individually, and He can't love you any more than He already has, because He gave you everything that He gave, that He could when He gave His Son Jesus. He loves you completely and totally right where you are. Now, does He want to leave us right where we're at? Absolutely not. No way. Every one of us have a sin problem, separated from God. We've all got some junk and some issues in our life. But He says that He's come to give life and give it to us more abundantly. And so He says that whoever's must believe. Remember, salvation is believable. That you individually, personally, have to make that decision to follow Christ. As much as I want to make it for every person around the world, as much as I want to make it for every person I've ever met, I can't. I can't. As much as you want to make it for your kids or your grandkids or your mom or your dad or your aunt or your uncle, you can't. In the same way, they can't make it for you. But you individually, personally, have to come to a place in your life of going, yes, Lord, here I am, all of me. Unfortunately for most of us, and I was this way, it took us getting to a point, it took me getting to a point where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I didn't have any answers. I didn't have it all figured out. I just knew I needed something different in my life. And if this God who loves the whoever's of the world is willing to change my life, to send His Son to die for me, then I had to make a decision. And many of you, as we sang about Jesus saved, and we sang when we all get to heaven, and we sang 10,000 reasons and the hymn of heaven, as we sang those, some of you maybe even have moments where you see this testimony from the baptism. You may have had flashes and moments remembering when you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus. But then there may be some of you going, I don't have that testimony, preacher. I don't have that story. Today is the day of salvation. I read this verse from Acts 16:31. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, you and your household. The apostles knew the power of the gospel here as they're witnessing to this jailer, and they're saying, man, believe on Jesus. And they trusted that God was going to change him and change his family. And here's the reality, friend, is that God will change people around you, but you have to make the decision to surrender to him with everything that you have. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him. See, it's not just believing in God that God is good. It's not just believing that the Bible is true. It's really none of those things. It's believing that Jesus came and lived a sinless, perfect life, and he died on the cross to forgive you of your sins, and he was raised from the grave. It's believing that there is no other salvation except in Jesus and in Jesus alone. There's no other way to be saved. Heaven is not a mountain that has a lot of trails to the top. Heaven is not a destination where there's many roads from all different walks and paths of life to get to. The Word of God describes heaven as a narrow way, a narrow road. And there is but one way, and that is only through the blood of Jesus Christ can you get to heaven. The road of baptism will lead you separated from God from all eternity. And listen, it was an incredible story and powerful as we watched it this morning. But the reason I try to share the importance of baptism every time I get in there is because I do not want anybody being baptized or anybody thinking that somehow this morning we pictured salvation. No, what we saw this, or we saw salvation, but rather what we saw was a representation of what Jesus does on the inside. It's crucial, it's important, but it is not salvation. Salvation is through belief in Jesus and in Jesus alone. And if you're trusting in anything else this morning, friend, let me throw up the big caution sign and say, hey, you're headed the wrong way. And because here's the reality. If you're trusting in Jesus plus your baptism, if you're trusting in Jesus plus church membership here or anywhere else, if you're trusting in Jesus plus anything, then you are not trusting in the salvation that the Bible provides, and it is a false salvation, and you're in trouble because you must believe on the name of Jesus. There is one name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that is at the name of Jesus. There is one name where every knee will confess and every knee will bow that He is Jesus Christ the Lord. That is Jesus, and in Jesus alone. We have to be clear about the message of the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, in Jesus, in the sacrifice that God gives. So, salvation is believable. Number two, salvation makes hell avoidable. Salvation is believable. You must believe on the Son of God. You must believe on Jesus. But listen to the continuing language here. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, here's the language, should not perish. Here's the truth and reality that you need to understand this morning. Every man, woman, and boy and girl that's ever been born, that gets to a point that child, that they're able to cognitively get to a point where they understand the difference between right and wrong. I know some of you parents, you got young babies. I'm fixing to hurt your feelings, all right? Every one of them choose to do wrong at some point. All right? I know I see some parents eyeing their kids. I know it, and some of y'all, maybe my kids, but my grandkids, they don't leave them out, preacher, right? Every one of them choose to do wrong, right? I mean, have you ever seen a baby that can't, I mean, they're starting to form some words, they can't quite talk yet, but they still know how to lie to you? Like, I mean, I know this didn't happen at your house, but you know, kids in a room by themselves playing, and there's something in there they know good and well they're not supposed to touch, be a part of, and you hear it crash and walk in, and did you do that? And they can't even talk yet, right? You know what that's called? That is called sin nature, right? And we blame you daddies, right? It passes through the seed of man, right? But we all inherit a sin nature. And we all have a sin. See, I slipped that in. Some of you mamas, you could have you used that. Go back and clip that in your message, right? In the message, right? But we all inherit a sin nature, and we all choose sin. That's why even the incredibly simple language of Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know this is really profound, but all actually means all. Everybody. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. The idea is this, is that the standard of God to get into heaven on your own good faith and good effort is to be perfect, is to be sinless. That's all you got to do. You want to get into heaven without Jesus, just be perfect. There's nobody that's ever been perfect except Jesus. And so for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The standard is perfection. The mark is perfection. And we have all come short of that mark. And now here's the language of Romans 6:23. The wages, that is a payment or paycheck, if you will. If I'm to go to work at Walmart and at the end of 2 weeks they give me a paycheck, that's my wages. And so that's what I've earned for the work that I've done. The wages, what I have earned, the wages of sin is death. So what I've earned because of my sin is death. Now it's not just talking the tense that the word death is in Greek. It means to die and to die and to die. It's not just talking about physical breath. Yes, should the Lord Jesus tarry, every one of us, we can agree, are going to take our last breath at some point. And so what Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. So it says, because of one lie, because of any sin in my life, I have come short of perfection, and because of that, I've earned something. And my grand prize for being sinful, for sinning against God, is death, not just physical death, but eternal death, to die and to die and to die. That's what John 3:16 is saying. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, listen, should not perish. The salvation Jesus provides makes hell avoidable. Now, let me be really careful. There have been plenty of testimonies where little boys and little girls or adults think they can somehow repeat a set of words and get what we now describe as their fire insurance, this get out of hell free card. And if I just do this, then I'll be okay. There's no life change. There's nothing different about my life, but it'll just keep me out of here. That's not what I'm saying this morning. What I'm saying is that when you truly repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Jesus, what happens is that you that supernaturally, God takes all your past, present, future sins, lays it over in his son Jesus, covers you in the righteousness of God, and then your sins are accounted against the sacrifice that Jesus provided, and then he provides a way of salvation. Therefore, you don't have to pay the penalty of your sin, which is hell and the wrath of God and a separation from God for all eternity. And so the salvation of Jesus makes hell avoidable. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward us. You know what it means? He's patient. Man, any of you grateful for the patience of God waiting for you to give your heart and life to him? I know that I am. I know that I am. And I've told you, I prayed the prayer. I walked the aisle. I thought I was good. I got my insurance card. And next thing you know, 6-7 months later, man, I'm under the conviction of God. And man, he's convicted me that I hadn't repented. I hadn't placed my faith and trust in Christ. And I wrestled and wrestled and wrestled with God for months. And you know what I thank God for? That he is long-suffering. That he is patient. Because if God had given me what I deserve, let me be really clear, I would be in hell right now, separated from him for all eternity. That's what I deserve. But he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. Friend, let me encourage you. It's not the will of God that any person, any man, woman, boy, and girl, die and go to hell. It's not the will of God. God did everything he could to prevent that from happening. In a few weeks, I'll share with you why men, women, boys, and girls die and go to hell. But 2 Peter 3:9 says he's not willing that any should perish, but look at this, but that all should come to repentance. You know what the heart of God is this morning? The heart of God, I can say this full confidence based on the Word of God. The heart of God is that every person in this room would repent of their sins and place their faith and trust in Christ. Because Jesus wants hell to be avoidable. He has made hell avoidable if you'll repent and believe in him. Revelation 21:8 lists all these individuals, the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters. Hey, by the way, if we were to stop right there, and he's the second part says they'll have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you were to stop that list in that first part, listen to the description of these. Cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, going, well, yeah, of course. Of course those individuals are going to be separated from God for all eternity. But I want you to look at this. Look at the last category, our last description of individuals, and all liars. The reality is we're much more like even those first several descriptions there of individuals than we want to admit. than even the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders. They don't want to admit to those things. But listen, dear friend, there's not a person in this room that knows the difference between right and wrong that has not, quote unquote, told a white lie, has not told a lie. And when we're out sharing the gospel on the streets, we talk to people and I ask people, go, man, if I were to go out and commit murder, how many times I have to murder somebody to be to be a murderer? Well, just one time. How many times do I have to steal something to be a thief? Just one time. How many times do I have to lie to be a liar? Just one time. And sometimes we, especially growing up in the South, we have this preconceived notion that I can do these things in my life. And even here's the reality. If you lived an incredible life, you create a cure for cancer, and you did all these incredible humanistic and humanity feats and all these kinds of things, and man, just treated people with grace and all these sorts of things, but you never repent of your sins or the only sin you ever had. You lived 80 years. You did all those humanity works, and the only sin you ever had is you told one lie in your life. You somehow think that heaven and hell are decided based on a scale. Well, here's all the humanity works. Here's all the good things. Here's all the nice things. But here's this one lie. There, and in our mind, especially in the South, we think that, well, these clearly outweigh this one. But what we have forgotten is that the standard is holiness. The standard is perfection. That's why the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin, even one sin, even one lie, separates us from God for all eternity. That's hard for us to grab a hold of. It's hard for us to rationalize that. But dear friend, if God were to allow one person into heaven that had sinned, that had not been forgiven, even one lie, then he would question his holiness. And because of his holiness, if he did not have his holiness, he would cease to be God. But God is holy and God is righteous. You go, well, how in the world could that happen? Well, how in the world could a holy God send his son to die on the cross for me, knowing that I would sin against him? We ask the wrong question. See, salvation is believable. And salvation makes hell avoidable. And then number three, salvation makes heaven possible. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but here's the contrast, here's that word, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Here's the beauty of this, is that everlasting life includes heaven. Heaven is part of that. But where we fail is sometimes we think heaven is the whole pie. We think heaven is the whole thing. That somehow we're going to be saved and we just got to drudge through life. We just got to somehow make it to the end. Somehow just got to withstand the sufferings and all that sort of thing. And one day Jesus is going to come back or I'm going to die and I get to heaven. And that is everlasting life. Now, dear friend, let me be careful. I'm not diminishing the reality of heaven. Man, it's going to be incredible. I mean, we sang this morning, when we all get to heaven, what a day that will be. And we sing about the opportunity when we first get to see Jesus. Man, heaven's going to be sweet. And heaven's going to be good. And there's going to be colors in heaven that we've never seen before. There's going to be smells in heaven that we've never smelt before. Man, there's going to be taste in heaven that we've never tasted before. Heaven is going to be absolutely incredible. But heaven is only part of the pie of the everlasting life. It's only part of the picture. Listen to what the Word of God says, John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Here's eternal life, to know Jesus, to know Him, to walk with the Lord. Man, to have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Man, you go through the hardest and most difficult of days, because here's the reality. The day that you surrender your heart and life to Jesus, let's say today you surrender your heart and life to Jesus on March 3rd, 2024. You give your heart and life to Him, man, give everything to Him. The promise is not that everything's going to be better, that there's not going to be hardship, there's not going to be difficulty, there's not going to be hard days. The promise is this, is that the peace of God will be upon you as you walk through some of those hard days, as you go through some of life's troubles and life's heartaches. And the promise is this, is not that everything's going to be perfect. I mean, you're going to be happy all the time, but you're not. It's not the promise of the water of happiness, but it's the oil of joy that's on a person. Man, I wish some of you been walking with the Lord get as excited. But man, listen, some of you been walking with the Lord. You know, right? You know the peace of God. You know the oil of joy of the Lord, and that, man, just walking and the freshness and man, the intimacy of walking with God. And knowing, man, I don't, as cliche it is, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but to have a saving relationship with the one who holds tomorrow, man, that's everlasting life. To know that I have a saving personal relationship with somebody that sticks closer than a brother. Man, to have a relationship that'll walk with me through the hardest and most difficult of days, when every other relationship in the world will fail you. God will never fail you. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. The picture is this. God saw you from eternity past and looked and said, you've sinned against God, you are in debt, and you owe a debt that you cannot pay. And you have no hope, help, or happiness, any chance to have a relationship with God or get into heaven. God in eternity past saw mankind lost, destitute, with no hope, in a sea of, man, just drowning, and there's not a lifeboat in sight. And God looked upon you. He said, I love you so much that there's only one answer to this. There's only one way to solve the problem. There's only one correction to the issue. And that is, I'm going to send my son Jesus as mankind. See, because you and I inherited a sin nature. And Jesus comes as a man in the incarnation. And he is redeeming and sanctifying human flesh. As he comes, and he lives a sinless, perfect life, and he dies on the cross, and he conquers death, hell, and the grave by being raised from the dead. That God sends his son Jesus to provide salvation, that whoever may believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I don't care how old you are, young or old, first time in church, last time in church. I don't care if you're born and raised and, man, have sent through 500,000 sermons. What happens is sometimes we hear a message like this. We hear the gospel of Jesus. And the Spirit of God is doing something right here. And to be honest, you really can't figure out what's going on. You just know, man, there's something in me, and I believe it's the Spirit of God trying to get your attention and bring you to conviction that you've sinned against Him, that you and I, apart from Christ, we deserve the full wrath of God, but God has done everything it takes for you to be saved. And it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that comes in our life that leads us into all truth and righteousness, and it's the Spirit of God going, hey, listen up. Listen to the message. And it's the will of God that you would believe on Him. That is, you would turn from your sin, repent, and place your faith and trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Why not today? Why not surrender your heart and life to Jesus? Hey, listen, I know all the excuses. I mean, I've heard them. I made a bunch of them. Listen, I preached before I genuinely was saved. The enemy, I know the enemy would come sit on your shoulder and tell you all these things, why you shouldn't, why you don't need to, all those sorts of things. I'm just telling you, dear friend, be sensitive to what God is speaking to your heart. And if you need to be saved today, today is the day of salvation. Repent and believe in Him. Who cares what somebody else may think or what somebody else may say? I believe that as a church, we'll rejoice what God's doing in your heart and life. But even if that was not the case, here's what I know, dear friend. There's not a single solitary individual that's going to stand with you before the judgment seat of God and try to plead on your behalf. So don't you dare let them determine anything about your salvation. You repent and believe on Jesus if that's what you need today. Some of you said, man, Pastor Chris, I've been saved. I know I've surrendered my heart and life to Him. But man, you've just been sitting on it. You hadn't made it public. You hadn't taken the step of baptism. Heard a pastor friend of mine the other day saying, becoming a Christian but not being baptized is like going and joining a team but not putting on the right uniform. Going out there and going to go play for Coach Ship and man, get out there, but we're not going to put on the right uniform. Doesn't make any sense. Putting on the uniform says, hey, I'm a part of the team. Man, this is who I follow. This is who my allegiance to. And some of you may have been saved and you just haven't put on the uniform yet. It doesn't save you, but man, you need to take that step of obedience. Identify with God. Say, hey, I'm a believer. I'm following Jesus. And some of you have been walking with the Lord for a long time, and you're walking faithfully with the Lord. And it may be somehow you've the message and the story of the gospel has become a little bit dull, a little bit stale. And it may be that the oil of joy in your life is not as fresh as it once was. Here's what I know. It can be fresh today. It can be renewed today. David, man, he found himself in a place of sin. He cried out to God, renew me, God. Restore to me, he prayed, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Man, it may be that you've let the enemy steal your joy. Beg God today that He restore to you the joy of your salvation. If you will, if you'll bow your head and close your eyes. Say, Pastor Chris, man, the Spirit of God speaking to my heart, I need to be saved. Man, I'm going to lead you in what we call a sinner's prayer, but please, you've already heard me this morning. Repeating some words doesn't save you. It doesn't. But man, surrendering your heart and life to Him, giving everything to Him is what brings salvation. And so if you just write where you're at, if you say, Pastor Chris, I'm lost, I need to be saved, I need to ask Him for salvation today. And you can pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart, wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. God, I will go where you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do. I will be what you want me to be. Jesus, I give my life to you, totally and freely and without reservation. Save me, Lord Jesus. The invitation is this. Here in a minute, I'm going to pray. And when I pray and when I say amen, we'll remain in the attitude of prayer. But here's what my encouragement to you is this. If you just prayed that minute with all your heart, when I say amen, you need to come and meet me down front. Say, Pastor Chris, I meant it with everything I have. I asked Jesus to save me today. When I say amen, you need to come. Maybe you've been saved and you need to follow in baptism. You need to make your decision public. When I say amen, you need to come and meet me right here. Say, this is the step I need to take. And for some of you, it may be that you've let the enemy steal the joy of your salvation. Friend, I want to encourage you, come, get on this altar and pray what David prayed. God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Some of you have lost friends and lost co-workers that need to hear the message you heard today. You need to pray that God will save them. I want to invite you, maybe you come get on this altar and pray that God will save them. I'm going to pray, and when I do, if you need to move, you come. God in heaven, I pray right now that you, Holy Spirit, would have your way in your work. God, I pray that you would give boldness for us to move and take the step of obedience, literally the step of obedience that we need to take this morning. And God, you work in these next few moments in a way that only you can. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. If God spoke to your heart, you come. And thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Man, just so grateful for his salvation and the truth of his word. Hey, grateful that you've chosen to worship with us today, and we serve a mighty God. And so as we get ready to dismiss today, I'm going to ask some of our men, they're going to take their place so that we can give as we leave today. And just be mindful, if you want to give a gift to be a blessing to Sherry and show our appreciation, you have till next week. But if you do that, it needs to be cash, and please put that in the envelope and mark it really clearly so that we can honor that and just try to be a blessing to her and say thank you for her time as well. Take one of those envelopes for Annie Armstrong. Pray about what the Lord have you to give. Be faithful in that and trust Him. And so let's stand together. Men, we have Man Up tonight, 6 o'clock. I want to invite you out for that. If you've not been yet, that's all right. They don't necessarily build per se on one another. You can jump right in. We got just a few more weeks left, so 6 o'clock tonight, other end of the building. Love to have you come and be a part of that. Encourage you. Keyshawn's sitting in the back. Go and encourage him and just tell him you're praying for him and that you're encouraged by his testimony today. So let's pray, and we will be dismissed. Lord Jesus, you're good and gracious and kind. Thank you for today. God, I pray that all that we say and do would bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, thank you for the testimony today and the baptism and just opportunity to worship you. Go before us and behind us. Help us to be a witness for you. I pray you'd bless the tithes and offerings, and God, use it to continue to advance the kingdom for your name's sake. Lord Jesus, we love you and praise you. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen.